and welcome to our debate, our anti-debate, in fact, so a sort of less combative kind of a debate on are prediction markets actually useful? Or I've already forgotten the title. I'm so sorry. It'll be in the description under this video. Anyway, so Marcus will introduce himself, but Marcus wrote a great piece on this. And so he'll probably start us off. So Marcus, obviously you've been a trader in your previous life. You are well known in the forecasting and prediction market community. What is the detail I'm forgetting about your life at this point?
I think probably it's just like I've been a fairly prolific trader on prediction markets, and I've done fairly well, I'd say.
The top manifold leaderboard trader.
And in fact, maybe why my scores are good is because I invited you, I think is plausible.
Okay.
I think it was the LK99 stuff you did exceedingly well on.
Yeah, this is where I've made like the plurality of my money on
right. The
prediction markets, yeah.
And Stephen, obviously a manifold founder, and has just started a new venture, which I guess maybe you want to briefly mention.
Sure, happy to shill. So I just started a new exchange called MNX focused on AI-related markets.
We're going to get into the debate. I'm very looking forward to it. This was on Less Wrong and the AA forum. There were a lot of comments, and I think this is something that's been in your head for a couple of years.
Yes.
And I'm glad that somebody said it. So at some points during the debate, we're going to pause when there's a kind of crux, and we're going to try and get the two of them to argue each other's positions. So without further ado, if you'd like to begin, Marcus.
Sure. Okay, so I'm Marcus. I've been I've done fairly well on prediction markets, from manifold to real money prediction markets, as well as just like bets between bets between people. And in large part, I think there's been a really large focus on prediction markets and specifically prediction market style like forecasting and in the like effective altruists and rational spaces for the last I don't know maybe 4 or 5 years. I'm very generally a big fan of markets, it seems like we've dedicated like just lots of resources to prediction markets, both in just raw money and people's time, but also just like the community writ large has spent a lot of time trading on these markets. And I think very little of use has really come out of them. And I think I wrote this post that I think it's like very overrated. We should probably spend a lot less money on this, et cetera. And like the broad reasons are like, one, we've kind of already tried, something around $100 million has gone into this. Maybe the equivalent of like hundreds of millions of dollars more has gone in terms of people's time. And we haven't gotten anything real that's come out of this. We already have prediction markets, like the large Kalshi and Poly market are already very large. They're doing hundreds of billions of dollars of annualized volume, and we're not really getting any use from them. We already had sports books basically. And also prediction markets are very much a solution seeking a problem in terms of like, we're really trying to make these, trying to find somewhere where these can be useful. And I think this is like the wrong way to solve problems. This is the gist of the post, and you can find it online.
All right. Yeah. So it is preaching a little bit to people in this crowd, but I want to defend prediction markets. First, I want to say to set your expectations properly, the base rate of CEO debating random person who's written a post on Less Wrong and thought about the issue for a long time is that the CEO loses. So I just want to put that out there. CEO's busy doing a lot of real work. So briefly, the case for prediction markets is the following. Prediction markets are really good at several things. They're really good at forecasting, of giving an unbiased estimation of future events. Manifold itself has a very powerful track record. You can see our Breyer scores online across various markets. Polymarket and Kalshi also have similar scores. There's enough academic literature showing that prediction markets do a good job at forecasting. That's kind of the first big area. The second big area is hedging. So it's not just forecasting, but it's hedging real economic risk. If you own, let's say, a coal mine, you're very interested in the price of energy. You're interested in, if it's going to be a very cold winter. That will, give you some signal of supply and demand. You can hedge your input costs using prediction markets and specific instruments which isolate risks. The final big category is entertainment. Unfortunately, I think this is the least sexy category, but unfortunately is the largest one from the perspective of prediction market revenue share at the moment. But it is nonetheless a real category, so I'm happy to bring it up. To address Marcus's specific points, $100 million is kind of like a drop in the bucket compared to the size of global financial markets. I think we have, you know, received, you know, significant value from the markets that we've, or from the prediction market platforms that have been developed as a result of this grant and VC money. I think kind of to quantify things and set a lower bound. So one way you can judge whether prediction markets are useful are to think about the alternative financial products that people are turning to. So if we consider just U.S. elections alone, prior to the prediction market era, large companies would go out to banks like Credit Suisse and other people to like buy structured products to help them hedge election risks. The total value of like all like structured products for major U.S. elections in like 2020 is something on the order of like 50 billion to 100 billion. So that gives you some sense of the magnitude. Like this alone is reason enough to justify the investment in prediction markets. And that's just like one tiny little sliver.
So I just want to jump in quickly. I'm going to give you an out, which you may or may. Do you actually disagree with what Stephen has just said? I'm curious. Like as in, my model of you thinks that maybe you might agree with much of what he just said.
I mean, I don't think he said anything wrong. I just sort of would say it's irrelevant. Yeah, like the $100 million. So $100 million has been spent more or less, like let's call it like call it half a billion in terms of like total like investment from like EAs and rationals. This is like highly like important capital. Like just to put a figure on it, like you can save a life for $5,000 in Africa. I think this is like sort of widely agreed upon. You know, animal welfare, et cetera, has even like higher cost effectiveness. And then in terms of like how like Stephen there just like sort of said like a dollar figure in terms of volume of like how much these structured products pay for, but that's not the value of them. That's just the notional volume that's traded. And then the other thing I would say is like it's actually been much more than 100 million or 500 million because of the investments that like people have made into like Polymarket and Kalshi. This is in the billions of dollars. So yeah, I think I don't think you disagree with that.
So to kind of clamp a bit on this, is the case you're making that nobody should have spent this money, or that specifically EAs, rationalists, large sort of EA-style philanthropic orgs, yeah, their specific money was badly spent?
Look, like people can spend their money on whatever they want to. Yes, like my particular argument is that we shouldn't have spent like philanthropic capital on this. One, the market was already doing it. And the bar for how this money should be spent is just much higher than this, yeah.
Yeah, so I part of this is, or what you address is, it's not just like the amount of capital going into these things, but the marginal value that prediction markets provide versus alternate forecasting and you know, hedging instruments. So my first claim is that prediction markets provide an immense amount of value right now. Much of that value is very difficult to quantify because information wants to be free. Prediction markets produce lots of valuable forecasting signals. Forecasting signals play into both individual and firm decisions and portfolio allocation decisions. And it's really hard to actually measure the value that's derived from those because all of this value is counterfactual. The best you can do is like establish lower bounds by looking at a bunch of individual use cases across different markets and then coming up with a broader estimate for what this would be. But I think the intuition should be that this is large. Signals that help individual firms like price risk across a huge variety of markets. Given the magnitude of like financial markets and decisions that firms make, the marginal value of the prediction market and better information doesn't really have to be that big. You know, small improvement times huge scale means big value.
Okay. So to hold your feet to the fire slightly on this, do you think therefore that large sort of philanthropic, do you think philanthropic capital therefore is well spent on this?
I think it has been historically.
Right.
I think now we're at the point where industry is more than capable of financing further developments.
Okay, but do you want to maybe name some things, or like you think that, say, for instance, open philanthropy's forecasting expenditure has been pretty good in your view?
Sure. Well, I think Manifold has been a recipient of several forecasting grants, and I think that has been money well spent. In terms of coming up with, novel prediction market mechanisms, including,
I assume you disagree here, right? We're actually coming towards.
Yes.
Great. Okay. Let's. Okay.
So actually, just really quickly, I want to like at least applaud Stephen and Manifold in terms of actually at least trying to make prediction markets useful. I think I would have gone like maybe further in conditional markets, but they did do a lot of stuff like loans, like interesting loan mechanics and. Like different multi-choice formats and stuff like this in order to like try to make prediction markets more useful compared to their industry counterparts. I really disagree that this was like money well spent by the EA community. Steven sort of alluded to, you know, small number times large number equals like, oh, like, you just have to assume maybe it's probably large or something. I just disagree that it's a large number. I think if it was such a large number, you'd be able to like point me to just sort of like billions of dollars of value that is created.
Yeah, I think the billions of dollars created are like marginal capital allocation systems from professional portfolio managers alone.
Do you really think that they're like, do you really think that professional portfolio managers are actually going to Manifold to help them make decisions?
I think that Manifold has been the free R&D lab for the, you know, two of our largest competitors in the space. So our work lives on through these other platforms. The prediction market industry as a whole has provided, marginal forecasts, which have shifted amounts of money, which are comparable to the total amount, you know, invested in spent in philanthropic grants and prediction markets. I think even just like U.S. elections alone, getting slightly better precision on that is hugely important. And that's just one market.
And to be clear, your contention would be something like Manifold did some R&D, which was broadly taken up by the industry, and therefore even very fractional increases in efficiency or something, or a success, would be have large impacts.
True. I also think the value will play out more over time. So one of the big use cases, which we have yet to see more of, is more of like the financial hedging use case of isolating specific idiosyncratic risks, be traded on prediction market exchanges. You know, the insurance industry kind of gives you a sense of market sizing for how large that opportunity can be. And the efficiency gains of introducing prediction markets into that area will similarly be huge. You know, insofar as, you know, we at Manifold, you know, have helped make this happen, you know, I think that's an incredibly worthwhile and useful thing for society.
Okay. Just very quickly, the idea that Manifold is sort of this like testing ground for the other big prediction markets companies, did they pay you for that? And I would assume not. And then two, just like, if you just look at what these large prediction markets are doing, the vast majority of this money is being traded on sports and crypto prices and things like this, which we already had markets for. And also just, they don't really matter. Like, no one's hedging the risk that the Raptors win or that the Golden State Warriors win.
Sure, yeah. But to hold your feet, like, he gave a case that the election markets, right?
Yeah.
That's it, like, surely that case is a bit harder to push back on.
Look, I think when there's an election, we're going to find out who wins the election when the election happens.
Okay, but like Biden dropping out, like when Biden did the thing, the debate, immediately his like numbers fell immediately. You could make a case there, right? Or maybe you don't think that. So, think so.
I don't think prediction markets were very helpful to get Biden to drop out now.
Okay.
I think the case is very, very speculative to get the case that prediction markets were used to have Biden dropped out, or that it actually even mattered, right? Like, well, so Biden dropped out and Kamala replaced him, and then Trump won anyways. It's really hard to really that's a bit facetious, but like, it's really hard to point to like any real value that was created from the prediction markets there. I don't dispute that prediction markets are accurate, or at least better than the low bar that is political punditry. I don't dispute that.
That can be incredibly valuable. So both the 2024 election and like Russian invasion of Ukraine were very clear examples where prediction markets were saying one thing and the pundit class was saying something else entirely. And both of those things involve, you know, in dollar terms, hundreds of billions of dollars or trillions of dollars spent. So getting like a better marginal signal on both of those things is huge.
I feel like I still want you to be able to quantify something like this. Like you just keep saying it's huge. Can you give like a some quantification for something?
It
doesn't have to be in dollars. It could be in lives or something. Yeah.
I do think so. It is difficult to come up with a model because of the nature of information. One way to think about this is like a case study type thing. So, how would having better odds on the 2024 election drive capital allocation decisions, and why would that matter? So one example would be you're like a biotech firm that's interested in beginning a billion-dollar clinical trial for something that it would be unlikely to happen under a Democrat-led FDA, but much more likely to happen under RFK. You know, in that decision, getting started a few months earlier, maybe that would amount to an additional, you know, several, you know, $100 million of revenue. The marginal signal that, you know, the prediction market provide would be, let's say 5% of that. So just one, you know, one firm doing this is equivalent, you know, to, you know, $5 billion or something. And scale that up across many different industries, many different sectors, and you get a number which is pretty big and pretty respectable.
How did you get that it would be worth hundreds of million dollars in future revenue if you like knew it a couple months earlier?
You could say I like 100 million, or I guess like 5 to 10 million, sorry, for one specific firm. This is, you know, a very rough back of the envelope calculation. But there are many, many decisions where delaying things or having slightly better signal and understanding the life cycle of your investment leads to real world payoffs, which are quite large. The being able to get started or postpone a decision can,
yeah,
you know,
I agree that interest rates matter. Yeah.
Well, not just interest rates matter, but knowing the details of specific events like elections or, you know, geopolitical drama, et cetera, can be hugely impactful.
Marcus, if you want. So actually, you get your response.
Sure. So I do agree that being able to do something sooner matters. One way to think of this is just interest rates. Like if you being able to start something sooner just like allows you get an extra 2 months or something of that thing existing. So I agree.
Well, it's not just it's also choosing to not do things. You may not begin your clinical trial if you know that it's not going to be possible. You wouldn't be building a new derivatives exchange in crypto if Trump were not elected. You know, a lot of these things, you know. Events have further ramifications. Investment decisions depend on what's actually happening in the real world, and prediction markets can provide real insight into those things.
Yeah, you do keep saying May, this is sort of my point, that it's really hard to pin down like any time prediction markets have been extremely useful. And I think at this point, with the amount of money spent on them, hundreds of millions of dollars of philanthropic capital and, you know, billions of investment capital, you would be able to point at least to some specific cases where, like, oh, for sure there was, you know, tens of millions unlocked here. For sure, tens of, like, you would start to see this. And I feel like we've seen very little of this, which is sort of suggestive that prediction markets have not provided this value.
I disagree on the meta point.
Okay.
So the impact case of prediction markets is that they provide like a marginal signal. You know, prediction markets, you know, the benefit of prediction markets for elections is that, you know, you'll get slightly more better calibrated and more accurate odds earlier. You know, and the impact case is that this will shift, the decisions of economic decision makers throughout the economy slightly, and that impact is huge.
I just don't think that many people are looking at the prediction market.
Okay, yeah. I guess like at this point it might be good for us to
sure.
to like do a quick swap there. So like we've done this, maybe each of you could just briefly try and summarize the point. Like you disagree on this point, I think. So like let's just see if you can give a kind of like a minute each on what you think the other thinks, and then maybe we're going to try and move to some other arguments in this space.
Sure, I'll go first. I think if I were to like really steelman Steven's argument here, it's really hard to measure the size of this probability it might be in the basis in the realm of basis points, but it's impacting large amounts of capital, and therefore spending these like slightly better would be very useful.
You just have to steal, man. You don't get to defeat the steal, man. It's okay. Right.
Go ahead.
Stephen, like.
Yeah, and Marcus's position is that if these amounts of capital are so huge, you should be able to point to a specific example and say, here, this is what prediction markets did, and this is why the signal was valuable, and that it's kind of hard to do this.
Great. Do we both feel that we were adequately steel-manned?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
In which case, great. I'm going to – can I be a bad moderator for a moment?
Go ahead.
Can you just justify the hundreds of millions? I think in my head it would be like tens of millions of philanthropic, but you might.
So one, like on the raw capital side of things, as far as I can tell, it's around 100 million. I summed up open fills and / coefficient giving, SFF, LTFF, etc. I think you could probably include in that things like people investing in Manifold actually at a much higher than valuation than was warranted at the time on this. And then in terms of like the real money, in my opinion, waste is actually all the time that sort of like random people spent thinking that they were being useful to the world. They're like, oh, they really thought it was useful for them to the world to like move the prediction market from like 53 to 54% on some geopolitics question. And we really misled, and because of this, like this is sort of like just like lots of people spending tens of hours. Across time, and if you add up these hours, like I don't know, like it's probably something in like the tens or hundreds of millions as well. Yeah,
I too think the numbers are smaller than what Marcus is suggesting. I think it's substantially less than $100 million total in nonprofit or in philanthropic investment.
Okay. Like I agree that I probably should have just like well elicited like every single thing I'm considering, but I yeah, okay.
In which case, I feel like, do you have other arguments for why you think forecasting or prediction markets are particularly good for this kind of philanthropic capital? I think you both agree that in terms of like market capital, they can just do what they like, right? Like it's really only the philanthropic capital I think you disagree on. And are there, other than just sort of move some big important markets, are there other ways in which you think forecasting and prediction markets have been very valuable?
Yeah, this is a great question. So I think prediction markets are helpful in several ways. First is prediction markets can be a canonical source of forecasting information about specific events. It's a shelling point for people to understand complicated events and one that isn't easily manipulable. I think that alone is important. I think this fact makes it, prediction markets serve the purpose of kind of raising the rationality, you know, waterline, making the public more rational when it comes to deliberating about events and changing how people think. It's important, you know, it's better that the public be thinking about things in terms of percentage chances than, blind punditry saying things are definitely happening for sure or not or whatever.
And again, you're claiming that philanthropic capital helped push this.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I think I have like two things I'd like to say in response. Like one, like saying like it'd be better if the general public were thinking probabilistically in terms of events. Look, I just don't think they can. This is not how normal people think. People in this room are much different than the average person. And then the other thing I'd like to point out is like, and hopefully this is not taken the wrong way, just like, look, all the manifold co-founders, one by one, have left and done other things, including Steven recently, basically suggesting to me that, like, yes, they agree that, like, okay, this is not the best use of their time to be building out these platforms. So I do think that's relevant. Like, so, like, it slightly shifts the debate, but, like, yeah, like, why did you leave, I guess?
The platform is built.
Okay.
No, it works. It's great. People are using it.
It works. So it works and people are using it. Like how many people are using it?
We have like 10,000 daily actives. It's not too shabby.
Daily active visitors or traders or what?
People who undertake one action on the site, which is not limited to just trading.
Okay, 10,000 daily active go, like that's basically 10,000 daily active go to the site. And like, would you just estimate how much value they're getting from that? Like just going like.
Sure. Well, a lot of the value is, or like, depending upon what individuals are looking for, you know. People come to Manifold to find out, you know, to be better calibrated on the news and major events. They come to ask questions about things that affect them personally. And insofar as they do that, I think they're, the platform is working as intended. They're better informed about the news. They're more informed about their personal actions. And it helps drive many decisions.
Okay.
You know, I can give a few examples, of how it's affected me personally.
Sure. I guess, like, maybe, like, if... you know, like, if it's the case that you really think it's, like, yes, the platform is built, but presumably you, like, I mean, one, you did just try lots of things, but, like, presumably you think that this should be even, like, more widely used. So you could have just, hopefully grown it to, like, say, 100,000 daily active visitors to the site or something.
Well, the size of the industry has grown as well. So yeah. Partially it's that we also live on through the work of our competitors, and the impact case is much larger and magnified by that.
Okay. Maybe like another sort of point in the post I made that I'd like be interested into hearing you respond is that I find that prediction markets are very much a solution seeking a problem where we ask questions like how can we make prediction markets useful for
actually I might be a bad moderator again and get I'd like to hear Stephen argue the case for AI 2027 like Vance having read that or Ajay's forecast, like, are these things not judgmental forecasting, which were paid for by the, like, the Open Philanthropy forecasting team? Like, presumably there's, like, many things in this space where we think, actually, like, this money went and, it, like, I mean, yeah, J.D. Vance read a document, seems like...
Sure, yeah, I think this is great. Like, sounding the alarm on AI development and AI scaling is a thing that people fund, or, you know, people who have received grants for forecasting have uniquely done that would not have been done otherwise.
Like, you might think this is bad, but it's like, it's hard to argue that it hasn't been effective.
Yeah, so maybe two things. One, I agree that, like, if I were to say, like, the one thing that prediction markets have done is that they have like been definitely an attractor to an example is this
forecasting more generally.
Forecasting in general has been this attractor of smart people and things like this. If I were to say maybe a big critique of AI 2027, I agree that it's like caught on very largely. I think it'll make us look a bit silly in 2027.
Sure, but that's not to say that something isn't. That's to say something was negative. That's not to say it wasn't impactful, right?
Sure.
Okay, so you might argue that prediction markets have been very harmful rather than that they haven't been effective.
I think they've distracted a lot of really smart people from doing important things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But what about this, like, the just sounding the alarm about AI in general? I feel like this, when people come onto Manifold, we have markets on whether, you know, AI will be able to do well on the IMO and other things, which seemed preposterous like a year or two ago. But our markets had been up to like 50% and steadily climbing. I think this actually is a really useful signal to society, even if it's only consumed by other smart Bay Area people. Having a canonical number that everyone can see that AI is progressing and is solving these major problems that pundits and other people are dismissing is just very, very important.
I think it's more obvious. It's like it should be amply obvious that AI is progressing if you just look at things like lab revenue numbers.
Well, what about a year ago, 2 years ago, this was less obvious.
A JS forecast.
Yeah, right? I think it was very obvious to anyone who would look that AI was progressing just looking at literally almost everything else.
Well, it may have been obvious to you, but it was not obvious to the vast majority of people who looked into these matters and who opined publicly. And whose opinion is on the record. One of the things prediction markets do is codify that and make it clear who is predicting what and make it easier for us to judge in retrospect who is right and who wasn't.
I don't know exactly what to say to that. I agree that, or I think of the 10,000, one sec, of the 10,000 people that are visiting Manifold, those are the ones that already knew AI was progressing.
Some of them were betting no.
Okay, sure, but okay. I don't know what to say to that. Yeah.
Things are not obvious. Things are never obvious.
Some things are obvious.
Maybe you want to continue with the point you were making before?
On what, sorry?
You had a point about a problem in search of a solution.
So we often ask questions how can we make prediction markets useful for X? And this looks a lot like, frankly, like a lot of industries that I think we sort of like rightly see as misguided. The example I'd give is cryptocurrency, everyone sort of like talked about cryptocurrency and blockchain as like how it was going to revolutionize the world, and then they would take it and be like, here's a big problem. People play a lot of video games. They don't get paid for it. And 2 years later sounds silly, but really people spent lots of VCs invested lots of capital into this, into trying to make video games with currencies that traded on the blockchain. And they've basically all gone to zero.
The VCs made money though.
I think it's really hard to argue that these were good investments. But go for it. And I think prediction markets are like sort of the same thing with when artists sell their work, they don't seem to get once they sell, they no longer get value. I'm like, yeah, that's what happens when you sell things. But people are like, oh, no, it'd be good if there was an NFT of it and then we could burn the original painting. But the NFT is worth 10 times as much. And this is looks a bit silly in hindsight. But I think prediction markets largely look like this as well, where we've tried to apply prediction markets to things that we care about, as opposed to starting with the thing we care about and thinking about the solution that really matters. I think this is with crypto. I think it happened with prediction markets. I think it happens with other things as well.
Oh, I think this is just definitely true. I'm not going to argue that this community has not been nerd sniped by prediction markets and is trying to use prediction markets in particular as a really cool tool and shoehorn that into as many problems as possible.
Okay, that's a good agreement.
That is definitely true. And it's arguably it's true of lots of other technologies as well. Many new technologies develop because people get autistically obsessed with thinking about ways that they can use it rather than thinking about the problem at hand.
We're going to get them to do some summing up in a second, but think of questions. If you want to put them into the app, we can do that. But also, we may just have hands up if we don't have any in the app. I guess, maybe let's have a sum up of anything you didn't think you summed up last time in terms of what in the next last, say, 10 minutes, what do you think has been the strongest argument from your disagreeer there?
I think Steven's strongest argument is that would be something like the value is there. It's just really hard to quantify because it sort of shows up like a few dollars at a time. I think that's his strongest argument. I just really like to see like methods developed to try to sum that up. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Marcus's strongest argument is that lots of money has been spent in this field, and it's very hard to point to particular concrete changes and decisions that have been made uniquely as a result of prediction markets.
Maybe I think something Steven would agree with is like, I would like to see, like, I think, like, one way to know that, like, AI has been very useful is that people are paying a lot of money to use AI. Like, lab revenues are growing, I don't know how much, 10x or you know, whatever Anthropic's latest revenue multiple over last year is. No one's really paying to get this information from prediction markets. And if they were, I'd be like, I think this would be like a much clearer signal that these prediction markets were useful.
It's hard to pay when the information is already free.
you definitely could sell the info, you know, generated. It's possible for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Now I guess we're going to move to some questions again. I'm going to do questions from the app until I run out, and then I'll do questions from the audience. What are, Marcus, your views on Futurarchy and its usefulness, in regards to this?
My views on Futurarchy. It's existed for a very long time. I don't expect society to take this up, basically. I don't expect society to take this up at all. And interesting idea, lots of interesting ideas out there. This one will not be taken up.
Okay. Yeah. Stephen, anything?
Yeah, I'm actually surprisingly not super keen on the idea of Futurarchy either. I think there are many different problems. One is that it's actually very hard to come up with a good objective function. A bunch of other problems in practice. I do think prediction markets are very useful in decision-making. But the main manner in which they can be useful is kind of creating a pointless picture from hundreds of different data sources that informed broader decisions. Decision-making as an art and a practical endeavor is much more complicated than the decision theoretic model that Futurarchy would imply.
Any questions from the room?
So I actually agree that, like, if we exclude, obviously, like, the 90% that's just, you know, sports gambling or, like, 15-minute crypto derivatives or stuff like that, I actually agree that the, you know, remaining 10% has some stuff that has some insurance or hedging value. I actually have the question of, do you think increasing insurance in places like America is a net good or net negative with, like, I feel like there's like moral hazards to increasing how much things are insured, and like, do you think it's strictly a net good to increase the amount of insurance? Because I agree it increases insurance opportunities, but is that good?
Real quick, can one of you guys just repeat every question just so we can get some?
Great, sure. So that question was putting aside sports gambling and even if you just think about the most valuable points of gambling, it can be sort of used as an insurance tool, but actually is more insurance being offered a good thing for society? We have moral hazard. Like, even in the best case, is this a good thing?
Go first?
Sure, yeah, definitely. Nothing is ever a pure good. There are always trade-offs in the world, including with insurance. But people made this argument during the eve of like life insurance when it was first introduced in Europe, like in the 17th century in a major way. And you know, the industry evolves around the moral hazard. You know, we have better data sets than other people. So I think the benefits will be even greater as a percentage than in previous areas. And there's no reason why we wouldn't want to scale it up.
Yeah. I'm also just generally pro insurance. It allows people to, hedge their risk in some capacity. And then I would say the general financial industry has had no problem without prediction markets of selling insurance, especially when it's in large enough numbers. And then specifically on these prediction market insurance, it seems to always be done in like large batches, I think, too, which normal financial markets would have no problem selling you.
Got a question here, which I'm going to ask a pre-question, yeah. Which is, do you think prediction markets work? Like, do you think they function?
what does that question mean?
Okay, well, the question is, it's sort of say, we've read Robin Hanson, we know the case, why don't you think they work in practice? Could these issues be fixed? But this feels like it's pre-assuming that you believe they don't, which I'm not sure whether you do.
I mean, I think in general, the price you see on a prediction market is not bad, especially for simple questions. I think they kind of work. Yeah. And so the second part of the question was,
I don't know that you think they need to be fixed if you think they work. How would you run policy?
I think this is important. I think they work much better on unimportant questions than they do on important ones. I think the prediction market industry has spent like almost no effort, not no effort, but almost no effort into trying to make prediction markets work for important questions. And like the things that would matter there is things like making them work for things like conditional markets, as in something like, you know, conditional on this piece of legislation passed, will unemployment fall by whatever. Or will GDP per capita rise, et cetera, living conditions or life expectancy, this type of thing prediction markets have not made themselves useful for these types of questions. They've made themselves very useful for questions that resolve 5 minutes later, in which case I don't think you need the prediction market in the first place.
I would say very briefly that my view is that prediction markets have been very good at forecasting important questions. The thing we haven't seen that much of is their hedging use case. But important forecasting wins are like correctly calling AI advances in like the last couple of years, predicting, you know, geopolitical conflict like the Russian invasion of Ukraine, doing a better job with elections than pundits. And that matters a lot. Over the next 5 years, we're going to see a lot more economic value being unlocked from prediction markets becoming part of serious financial infrastructure.
I think there's a good question on this here, which is how would you respond to the fact that the biggest things people want to hedge already have been hedged? And therefore, you know, commodities, elections, etc. This reduces the case for the marginal value, but that seems in contrast to what you just said.
People don't know what they're missing. You know, the markets have lots of risks. If you don't see, those risks will only become apparent once people start trading and hedging on them using new products to isolate risks that previously weren't possible.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to wrap up, but I guess in wrap up, maybe just a minute each, I want you to sketch the strongest version, the strongest true version, you think, of the other person's argument. So if you are making the strongest case, so again, Marcus, you can start.
Sure. I think Stephen's strongest case is sort of twofold. The first one being the one that I sort of reiterated before, is it's hard to measure the value that prediction markets have had, which is usually the thing that people say when things are not working that well. And then the second thing that he made the case for is like in the future, hedging will be extremely important. I'm skeptical, but I think this is at least plausible.
Sure. And Marcus's strongest argument is that we haven't seen real concrete use cases of prediction markets uniquely forecasting different results or leading to important decisions that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And that given the amount of time, money, et cetera, spent in this field, we should have seen more already, and that the wins that prediction market advocates point to now are often in relatively unimportant areas versus more important, sectors of the economy.
Sure.
Okay, well, thank you so much for listening. Just in case anyone was checking, Marcus spoke, as far as I could tell, for about a minute less. So you can pat him on the head afterwards. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Please clap.